wanted to live that way. But my daughter, during this Monday, March 2, when the time was 8:06 a.m., members of House Education present are Contra Representative Andy Stewart, Representative Brian Hopkins, Representative Tiffany Fulgaski, Representative Chris Hall, Representative Mike Brox, and myself, Harry Adam. Thank you. We have a forum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to sign up to the telephones. Today, I'm recording Secretary Chandler Payne and Melissa Drew. If I call any moderator assistant with effective telephone, we'll take support. Thank you both. Today, we will continue our work on House Bill 236, Public Schools, Social Emotional Learning, and House Bill 260, State Education Policy, Early Childhood. First up, House Bill 236. Representative Hopkins. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and tell us more about your work.
And to my name, Thank you. quite very important to make sure we're getting our youngest learners the knowledge and social emotional learning provides. But when we get that, we certainly make sure we're bringing up on the details of the design of the system to the classroom in the next year. But it's really that this is not what we need to do. In the next few pages, we have the K-7 grade social emotional learning guideline, which is the bottom right. Maximum for the school district. They have been doing an absolutely exemplary job in that team, already working on a lot of these standards within their volumes. You can see here's just some pages that they're on our page, but we want to give you a very in-depth look at what this might look like at the school level. So while the state would create standards at something that they saw were in the building to actually implement a program on fourth page of those absolute board standards for us. Operating by being part of the fifth grade in order to not overrise the student laws, have the ability to accurately recognize all the lessons and thoughts that are influenced on behavior. This includes accurately assessing one's own strengths and limitations, and possessing a well-rounded sense of confidence and optimism. And from there, the school will be responsible for putting together how they would be comfortable with it and how they would implement those standards themselves in 7 years. It will bottom-up approach from the school district itself, understanding what's out there. There are several school districts that have already worked with that CAFL and the schools around the state that have worked with CAFL to implement a number of these within their school. So up in Fairness as well, that have seen great success. Next, we have meeting lessons and communication challenge. Also another big job. This pivotal figure in the last communication challenge is one of the three biggest topics that came out of the statewide effort. Responsible, I was talking to you about this team, but most people face teaching and well-being, as well as increasing successes, all play into each other, that creates more successful outcomes for students, that matches the Department of Education's overall goals and missions. The goals are to see people helping in the bottom left is where the social emotional learning standards apply. And if you delve into the after results, you can find those specific outcomes and suggestions for implementing the social emotional learning standards across the state as well. There are concrete suggestions that came out of the after results. So we're not testing the outcome. That is a case for the students to see that we can, or something can, that is better recommended. We have the education policy that Governor Kelly just put forward and Governor Walker and the answer as well. Next, we have
chapter 4, the Adequate Cost of Education Guidance that addresses having students with social emotional learning capital instead of training in behavior. Again, working with already established policy and standards. We're not really suggesting anything new. We're just saying that standards should be developed for something that's like more of a great machine.
Which is totally culturally relevant learning standards and social emotional learning. This is what the next part is about. These standards are say quite well to culturally relevant curriculum, which is another aspect of the education education set. It makes these standards very valuable for what the local districts need, what they find in those classrooms, in those schools, in those students, and families as well. And if it follows closely, with a lot of the cultural standards and the left of the kids in general standards as well. There's teaching practices, what does it look like in the classroom, and support for the students and for this outcome that we're seeing in here that is data-based, and then we can give a good pair of course goals for that. Into what correlates and causes success in life already. has been through the skill and tools that are developed by teaching and by students and the curriculum that best demonstrate that successful outcome in life. And if you came up to, you can see in reading is important, and math is important, and it's adapted in the market. But we pulled out a couple pages from this, and I went to cover sheet, and then we're now on page, grab page 3 on this, which is the next page, and it's very incredible. Because if you look back, you can't ask your limitation on the right hand column side. And then number 3, social skills tend to be better predictors of success in life. And that's what you find out throughout the presentation and you return to. So much on is going to be that well. The hard lessons and the 3 R's are so critical, and it ends up being a trial of those individual students are able to work with other students, to work with themselves, to experience your opportunity to overcome the workplace, to understand the critical aspects of teamwork and resiliency and overcoming your own obstacles. That really does help you to have part of the success. There's a chart on the next page, which is when we pull out page 3, that demonstrates again why the importance of the social and emotional skills to manage the steps of life. And we see that the next page is page, which is the following one, page 39. If you remember, I said social skills and social skills are the primary driver of success in school and in life. Teachers need to drive on social skills and more potential students in long term success. Teachers' impact on social skills is more predictive of students' longer-term success in graduating high school and growing up for success in life. I just want to ask over to the people who that students might be much better than what they need to learn more social skills and demonstrate greater success in life as they graduate high school, which is not the first time that they can get. After that, we have some pictures in the book that the series of the school, state school board, the basic school board, brought forward, they transformed schools, and was trauma informed inclusion, and we pulled out the chapter as well on that, social skills, emotional learning, and making a difference for our students, and happy learners, students who can focus on academics because they're not sidetracked by a lot of other issues, and their test scores are higher than those who are helping to refer also to the program, and also as an equal principle. Those next few pages from that CEM book, as well to see what is this emotional learning management, self-awareness, self-management, co-regulation, you see that these effects last, and the social skills can be taught, and what they can do in all of as well, especially as tied to the scores when it's going forward. Moving through a few more pages, one of the critical things that we found in our research is to see it working differently. Areas of distinct education aspects from this one came from the Alaska Association of School Boards and other meetings with them. This is what do we call it for? A component of the opinion of their employers and their students, and what are the skills they're looking for, skills competency, speaking, you're also talking about how to learn really with others. And as you work attitude, you are both the better you see a good team effort with others. What it is to learn and consider rewards all those responsible and self-disciplined. Those are skills that the employers are looking for that tie exactly back into many of the key points that we've tested. We're not just looking at scores are successful, but how we see success in academics directly with the employers are looking for when the students graduate high school or ready for the workplace. Similar to it is a similar training for your autism and people's respect, good attitude, good work ethics, and several other things that also apply to social and emotional learning. We did a very quick research and reported for the way the social is program came from a large PDF, but it was also had an impact on the social and emotional learning during things. Volumes and volumes and volumes of data on the online documents. Actually, we really done to the 50th class and I was able to get about 700 pages worth of studies, so we didn't want to make the back of the specific pages. And even with the five different domains, they measured very closely with what the also seeing an open flat in Albanien, and even then in Leipzig, in Leipzig. So this is well, England has very good standards, Leipzig has very good standards, Chile has very good standards as well. I think that the second step, it's very effective, but one of the aspects of the hearing last week that I heard, not that really about some claims from Asian school officers, where the woman who's in charge of the social and development policy went through, she was talking about how the question of language was, it's not taken for success, it's not school included as well, it's not classroom included as well, and they started expanding it in public programs. But what they really wanted to see was not just public success, but overall success in the entire school district with these good ideas and good lessons that are moving forward. So, while our school districts are doing this on their own, ensuring that the rest of the school districts have the same standards as the successful school districts are saying is critical for making sure that it's not just public success, but all our students in every district are able to move forward. And as the research continues to grow and the support for social emotional learning continues to grow in our school districts and across the country, more and more school districts are starting to take a crack at this development. The lower cost of school districts are working on very interesting standards right now that are funded on the university. I think we have one this year, but they're working closely with a number of experienced practitioners to make sure that it's worthwhile at least culturally related to the school. This next package is another academic study that is pulled off from the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. And it's important chapters where it talks about transforming things like emotional learning. Those following pages, it goes through examples of what some social emotional learning programs are to get a good idea of what we're actually talking about here. Promoting alternative thinking strategies with pets is one developed example of the program. Responsive classroom approach, the reading, writing, respect, and resolution program, the 4 R's. The approach, entering the secret model of emotional literacy, and finally the summary conclusion to that study that we highlighted. As this chapter demonstrates, keeping social emotional learning separate from academics is a disservice to educators, students, and families. The time has come to ensure that all children and adults develop skills to maximize their full potential academically, socially, and emotionally. And I actually have some of the very good quotes that we were able to pull out that really demonstrated the importance of this. The NAFTA Staff Development Network put together the award student for educators from across the state this semester last summer. And hundreds of teachers from across the state come to start getting some of this professional development. They want to get in their classrooms. So, awareness of social and emotional learning is much familiar. It's compartmentalized programs stemming from academics. The truth is, all learning is social and emotional. Here are the teachers that was trust, demonstrate confidence, and are passionate, much like the two that we're doing last week. Just those students and problems. What teachers say they proudly express, the materials and activities they choose, and the skills they prioritize, all influence how students think, see themselves, and interact with content and with others. Students are social and emotional development is too important to be dead on or afterthought, too important to be left to chance. Social and emotional learning can be integrated into community and target instruction, no matter what subject or what level you teach. Finally, my favorite quote, if a child cannot read, a teacher can read. If a child does not know how to do a math problem, we teach that child how to do math problems. If a child does not know how to behave, we punish him. It's definitely a good thing to start a learning for certain practices and social and emotional learning. That's all. Such a good one. Thank you very much for your benefits. Any questions from the sponsor? Representative Brett?
Yeah, thank you, Manager. My first question, I guess, would be today, consideration we have public testimony in mind that programs.
I only have one person on the line.
Yes,
I just have one on the line. So you want to ask
Okay, is this the issue? As I read through the bill, it does mean that this is the first time they're setting a standard within whatever SPS 14.7.169. A standard, as opposed to it in my mind. There are standards of measurement, so everybody knows what an inch is when we're talking about an inch or a gallon is when we're talking about a gallon. Those are very concrete things. And for dealing with, your presentation, all I'm going to do is not disagree with any of the ideas that you mentioned, but to make a standard for that is extremely difficult. Society has been struggling with that for 4,000 or 5,000 years. I'm really concerned about the end of it. It's the need for a standard to do this rather than letting what's going on continue to just develop it. Something emerges, best practices emerge.
Does that make sense? And I think she was brought up earlier from the press to the chair. The standards do not create, they don't designate what a gallon looks like in the classroom. We're going to talk to the big energy for how do you feel that gallon in the classroom. So we're not setting the budget measure for what because who is the decision of the curriculum, they decide to use the professional development, they decide to use the standard is more as professors match to things that they put together. When people say, well, what is it? Self-awareness is for pre-K through second grade. The ability to accurately recognize one emotion and that is a different behavior. This includes accurately assessing one's strengths and limitations and delivering a well-grounded sense of confidence and optimism. And a standard within that self-awareness category would be my students demonstrate an awareness of their emotions. They move through the recognition of objectives and then activities and examples. Don't like objectives and activities and examples of what the school lessons would be putting forward and being shooting on the ground. The standard is critical for making sure that they're going in the right direction, guiding those school districts to make sure that they are making those important learning strategies so that their students can continue to be a success. So, it's the reason for the standards are critical for making sure that teachers are moving forward in the right direction, not exactly how to do it. So, we know they have gallons of water, but what that gallon looks like at the local level, whether it's a plastic container or a glass container, is up to the school district itself.
Thank you. Just to use a separate example to express my concern, both of us are familiar with the air quality problem in Phoenix and in our service. So there is a standard for the quality of the air that you have to meet. That's one thing. And then we got into how to meet that standard, and that's where all the argument started. So, that's what I'm struggling with right now, and I'm just going to have to give that some more thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to share we do have standards for math and for science and for reading. And so this should be included in the standards that we have. So this is classroom and the preschool districts. It's the preferred division of these shining from our work on that.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any questions?
Sorry. Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing this to the education committee. And I have a few questions. One, I just want to make a thought, and I'm sitting here when I look at Raven and I'm using your skills for how to do that. My talk just makes me aware that it's going to benefit our domestic violence rates going down because we're learning how to handle all of our emotions, fear, anger, loss. And it also makes me think our child in the immediate cases will go down. And my statistics are long-term promise. And I'm so pleased that so many of our districts are doing this after it's been recognized for a long time. We need to adapt behavior management, so to speak. But it's also recognizing when students come to school, they're bringing so many things of what's happening at home and schools can have good learning to restorative practices. And
makes me think very much those that we talked to are the heroes who will ask to see if they're pre-teaching these standards to educators. So the district, of course, will carry on, but it's nice to know. So I'm asking that question, and I'm also asking nationally, are other university programs, are they teaching these standards to our educators of today, since, you know, brain science has come so much now, they're all aligned together. And so there's that question, and then the third question is, have you assessed, and maybe it's the School Board Association, how many districts are, of the 53 school districts, how many are, you've named a few, but how many are in need of doing this?
We are not talking to universities specifically about what they're teaching about violence while they're in the different school districts. We know that it just comes from management and they've been discussing some small group levels, but certainly we have not gone through the findings on the different courses offered up there. So we will be trying to discuss that with them to see what efforts they've been doing forward. And on the national level, this is not also something that we've done. So, and see if there is any footage out there already. Information about it that describes what different schools or universities are teaching for this. And I wanted to see what else is out there from what we understand most of the work is being done by the schools as well at the state federal development level. We are really going to conduct them through all 53 school districts to put our curriculum studies, not all 3,000 of them online. But there's more that were very easy to grasp and intuitive and have to get on with as well. I hope that there are some members online as well, and Anchorage has not, but these maps are not so well structured, and because it's not required at the state level, we have to know. At the state level, in fact, K-12, the conclusion of the status is that the district is performing up to the standards and implementing the standards, but it's a normal about how school volunteers each will move the standards forward and give us a better idea of what students are putting up for well or not.
But we still know they're going to the district will have to do professional development for their teachers. And many of them are now. And it seems that resources are really important for making this thing happen. I know you have a sort of a small fiscal help for this, but like other fiscal helps, well, for kids in different business schools, I know they're spending a lot of, they're spending money on this. And,
our training service this year is certainly enough. We were not in denial of that. That was why we sent back for our bill master that required school districts to spend a certain amount of money on social emotional learning to create new standards. That was the district to implement social emotional learning. And that bill last year was opposed by numerous school districts, and the more ones that opposed it because of the level of
same when I asked the university question,
service, these budgets being cut, and we're asking to respond to what the current circumstances and the current circumstances are. I just like we're asking our school district to do that. It seems that we always have to look at our education funding. We're the ones who are mandated to fund what's needed for schools to be successful, and so I think we need to look at making sure that we are increasing our funding for our critical areas like this, so we can feed the needs of our children.
Instructions, but standard for instruction. This is your standard for instruction. We're not looking at standards for behavior outcomes. We have a standard that we're defined. The technique says they want a standard for instruction of how to implement, not the standards that we're going to be testing to for student outcomes. Am I correct on that? Standards and by the third part here, there's also a little more. We have both the top of the heart of the business, K through second grade, and some of the ability to actually recognize one to one and their thoughts and conclusions that are delivered. This includes accurately assessing one frames of other cases, and then well rounded sense of confidence and optimism. That's your thing, that's your goal, that's the same as saying this is your standard for pre-K through second grade on the self awareness category. Absolutely, all the students can do that, and so it would be the equivalent of being able to understand and learn multiplication table. Can you grasp the multiplication table and see how it works? In this case, are you able to accurately recognize your emotions and thoughts and their influence on behavior? Are you going to be able to
understand the goal? I see students, stay away from students for instruction. So, how that community instruction is different than standardized standards in social and emotional. When you throw an instruction in there, to me, this is something that Julie Matthews is doing. And the MASU is looking at this right here, stuff comes for, I might be wrong, but the way it is, we thought that they want to, their objectives is to see these things from their students. This is the thing that we want to see from our instructors. So I don't know if there's a difference there. To me, there's a difference. This is the first, this section right here, we have regulations for regulations to implement regulations requiring. We don't put anywhere in this for standards for reading the standards for academics or all those other types of standards. So I always think that we should just leave it to, I just wondered if this is the right place for this. Some sort of framework for social and emotional learning in all of our schools. We want to make sure that there's in my mind, instructional standards, but we want to have some sort of outcomes for our students that are actually different type of standards, which I think is not something we're trying to do. From what I'm hearing, the lower cost of living is trying to set up their standards as well, making sure it's culturally relevant. And so we're going to do something statewide as far as what outcomes we might see for all students. I think it takes away a little bit of the individuality of each 53 school districts that we have. And I'm always arguing that the reason why we have those 53 different school districts is to not only have our own autonomy and making sure for your area that things are culturally relevant, whether it's social emotional learning or whatever education that they want to focus on, even when it comes to career technical education. I think that they really need to have that flexibility. We don't want to say that all students should be doing what they do. They can go to repair when really they wouldn't be focusing on students in repair or small industry repair. So I'm really appreciate the intent. I'm just wondering
this legislation as I read this, and that's why I like this, is you're busy setting standards for instructions, not standards for what we want to see outcome. That way, the individual districts can come up and see what they want for outcomes. And I guess my last question, if I may, Madam Chair, is this a requirement for the school districts, or is it just there available for them if they so adapt or adopt, I'm sorry, to serve a social emotional learning program for their district?
Thank you, Phil. I'm going to ask the second one first, because that's my first one. It is not a mandatory requirement. It's a required standard that they have to adopt. Yes.
chair, and to the left, to the table. Rotating weapons, I like Carl to come to the school as a place hunter last week. I think that we had a really incredible testimony from the teachers that came before the committee during the initial hearing. And I think the perspective was well received about the different age appropriate levels for students, whether they're in kindergarten or first grade or their senior secondary school. One thing as we, I guess this is more of a thought and maybe some fodder for conversation with the department when you kind of flesh out some of the questions that have been asked today. I pause a bit when we start talking about migrants and outcomes, when we're talking about children, when we're talking about students. I think that as we've heard in this committee over and over, that like your senior has said that it's difficult to distill down the measurement of students down to whether it's one test score or one standard or one requirement. And so anytime there's, anytime we're trying to dig out quantifiable data about Alaska students, I think it becomes slightly problematic. And so I guess my thought as you continue conversations with the department is, how can we strengthen Senior Chair Cook's points about the particular language used within the draft that was provided by the channel? How do we address the need for social emotional learning standards using the most appropriate framework and lens and how to apply that in the classroom? So, not really looking at driving metrics and outcomes and data that's likely difficult to find in young humans, and really how can we establish a framework and a lens by which school districts and school districts are empowered to incorporate social emotional learning standards within their classrooms. I think one of the most poignant things that was said by Ms. Tino last week was social emotional learning is not an issue thing, it's a part of the whole. And so as you kind of re-engage in your conversations with the department, I think at least from my perspective, what would be most helpful is making sure that this language and the draft legislation mirrors that we're trying to create a lens through which our educators and our staff are approaching their work and not really adding extra burden on top of the workload. It sounds to me like a lot of districts are already using social and emotional learning every day in their schools. And some are not. And if you've done any analysis of how many districts are and how many are not. Thank you.
through it, and more and more supportive. To get some of those skills that we've been moving forward from this being present in a variety of different ways. We've given each other more communities and see if they have examples of what they're doing. Then it would not be able to standardize and nor even necessarily best practices in the process moving forward.
Further questions at this time? We do have a new fiscal fiscal note is out, and Aaron Horner of the department and Tamara Bendelow of the department. Tamara's on the phone, and Aaron is in the room. If they come forward and speak to us on this issue. Ms. Bendelow?
Good morning, Aaron.
Yes, good morning. Well, not a moment. Let's get Aaron at the desk.
Thank you. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, the other perspective on the department's internal structure with regard to the creation of the curriculum? Is it not there?
Thank you.
sure if we kick it off or see how any particular bill is going to reach the finish line. I would hope that while it is being presented as an equivalent, but is there a success between, you know, this committee spoke about alignment and through that in essence both social emotional learning as well as mental health education standards. And so I would hope that as the department considers all things equal, and if both pieces of legislation were successful, that there could be some cross-pollination that would drive down the cost burden for the department to develop these standards. I also, considering the discussion that we had in ASMA 181 mental health education, we understood that because health education standards are voluntary, that it's been roughly 2 decades since those standards have been revised, and so I would say I understand the department's position in putting forward as responsible as a school that takes all things into consideration. I would hope that the reality of this bill would be able to be successful along with the one that seems quite similar in alignment, that this is not the actual price that the state would bear in order to develop these standards.
First over this, the concept of the word standard versus the word guideline. I would help to talk about this because it seems a lot of guideline than a standard that we're trying to develop.
And your question is for the director of the Department of Education, Van White?
Yes, I was going to be the first one, I'm sorry.
Ms. Van White?
Together, and then they probably send somebody somewhere or listen to a teleconference or do something that's going to cost them something.
Thank you.
it's hard in the moment to know what we're going to talk about.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I heard earlier, Ms. Benoit, that not only some students are volunteering, but they're not correctly.
Thank you.
social emotional learning versus form selection?
Stories
see a markup that I'm bringing this into the classroom, but also those that just haven't acquired the skill set yet. So the way I see that differentiated between educators and the students, I want the students to have the opportunity for this, however that it can be afforded. I believe it is through those educators and school counselors. We cannot be the ones saying, open this up. It is just a system-wide program that needs to take place in how you engage with students. And a lot of that, like you said, is already happening on the day-to-day. However, there are some skill sets that can definitely be added to that. And as someone who will often get students who will have the meeting and they're going to say, hey, here's how we need to do it, here's a little side. Well, we know that a lot of those things can be mitigated in the classroom with these components every day. So it's just ask that you keep considering this, and however you are able to bring it forward. I thank you very much for your concerns and these hard topics, because it is day-to-day how our students will be successful in life. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. I appreciate your answer for sure. I'm sorry, you are our town council, school council, family counselor for six different school districts, but six different schools within the Kennebec Peninsula Borough School District.
That is correct.
Thank you. Well, please tell us if you have some questions.
Representatives of us,
thank you for coming in today for being things. Yes, your body put your name and affiliation on the record, and you have 3 minutes. Back on the record, we're going to take up House Bill 368 once again. So, state education policy on early childhood. If the legislature of the bill or our staff would like to come forward and provide additional information. Right.
testimony last week, and if you could state and get the bill what you hope to achieve and how this works into our state policy.
Sure. So just as a recap, I was sharing some of the work we've done over the last several years with educators, and I included both students who serve in justice summits and practices to fundamental emotional learning are underneath the bigger umbrella of trauma informed practices. And so this is really getting at sort of the umbrella policy that we want to look about being trauma informed in our policies. A couple of years ago, we were working on a resolution that called for adopting a statewide trauma informed policy, and we were able to insert that language into the Department of Health and Social Services documents via Senate Bill 105. But that's specific to the HATS statutes, and so this then would be specific to Department of Education. And right now, if you look at DS 14-03-05, the state education policy is pretty brief at this point. It's just pretty general in nature. This would add to it, and what I was describing this last meeting was that my experience both as an educator and as a legislator. And so we can move slowly on these kind of statewide implementations, make sure that you have the professional community standing along behind you. So that's why we've tried to work on this over the last 4 years and work with educators. We have listed some of the communities we know represented, talking, for example, Casper Burns, and for part of the presentation. So this team is going to then encourage Fairbanks, Palmer, Marcella, Valdez, Homer, Slipcar, Juno, Bevan, Tubac, Tickner, and Hancock are some of the communities where we've had educators come through the training that we've offered. So the way I would like to move forward on this is that the feedback I got from educators was that they're interested in supporting statewide policy. They like the idea of trauma-informed being the umbrella and then having some ability at the district level to decide how they implement trauma-informed practices through social emotional learning, through restorative practices, through inclusive school communities. There are a lot of different ways that you can be trauma-informed or trauma-informed schools. And so this is kind of the overarching idea, but as you heard at that last meeting, some of the challenges that our educators face in terms of the students are experiencing in their lives, their own lives, their other lives outside of school, they're bringing that all to school with them. And so, as an educator, again, you're confronted with the trauma that you have experienced and how that impacts the ability to learn. And so, this piece is more to orient our thinking around these ideas rather than implementation of a new policy. But what's been very exciting is that in the Department of Health and Social Services, after we passed this statute, they have been evaluating the program, and again, it didn't include new spending or new program mandates, but just reevaluating to see how they meet this. And what it gives an opportunity for is to be sort of more prevention oriented. We do a lot of crisis response and crisis intervention. This language allows us to be more prevention oriented and achieve greater success.
Thank you. Basically, what we are, this would be a policy statement on what we've been talking about with social emotional learning and adding mental health into our standards as part of the groundwork that we're doing to carry this overall policy, which I feel is lacking in the state.
And through the chair, Representative Story, yes, I think this. Once we have this as part of our state education policy, then it directs us to do other things. And again, going off of the recommendation from educators that I'm working with, we looked at a number of pieces of legislation from around the country. And what people related to was the idea that the trauma informed, trauma engaged was the umbrella, and then that they had some ability at the district level to make decisions about how they would be implemented and how to meet that.
just mentioned that we'd ask for funding to do other things, like the funding that would be necessary for the social emotional learning standard. But this is just that first step towards that. And again, in my experience, it gives for us to proceed slowly so that we do right. And that's all.
Clarify, make sure I'm thinking right here. In the existing statute 14.301 topic, there's just one single paragraph, and then we're adding a new subsection E. But there is no E. Is that just a typographical error, or am I missing something?
There's one there in that because it's only one item, but then I believe when they do the drafting, that they still have to be in A and B.
Okay.
As part of the technical,
well, just a technical, existing 14.301 topic is a very broad statement, and it seemed to me that what you were trying to accomplish is permissible, I suppose, within the existing statute. And without asking the same to some insurance, I told people when you compare one insurance policy to another, look for the thinnest policy you can find because that's the broadest coverage. And I did the same thing, that you could do this without putting this into statute, but when we didn't put something into statute, now we're not. Maybe even cause some other things we don't think about. But is this really necessary for me? Can we do this now?
Through the character representative products, I think it is necessary, and after working with these engineering carriers over these last several years, it is something that we're hearing more and more about, and I think that's why you heard some of the public testimony and the other piece of legislation. There is a recognition that teachers, again, are just being all educators, the administrators, and everyone at the school are being confronted by the issues that the students bring with them to school every day. And I don't think at this time that our policy actually is sort of reflective of a more modern situation than what we see in 2020 with our students. And I think it is actually necessary to be a bit more specific about that, to orient us to meeting those needs. I've talked to educators myself. I've been teaching over 20 years, but I've talked to educators with much more experience than I have. And there's just, and you hear about it every day, there's just a lot that has changed in terms of, our family life looks like, what student life looks like. And this, I think, is a recognition of what students need in 2020 in our education system to really be successful and how we ensure that some students don't get left behind.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? Speaking of that, I think we have a couple of people for public testimony. Thank you very much. Okay, I have Katie Boats.
Thank you. Thank you.